worship this day. Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning. As we gather here this day, you have gathered here on a special day. It is a day that our youth group gets an opportunity to share with you an experience that took place almost approximately 2 months ago. 2 months ago, we took a team of 10 youth and adults to Chattanooga, Tennessee, an opportunity that we were fortunate enough that you blessed us with the financial and the prayerful opportunity to go to our neighboring state of Tennessee to serve in your name, in God's name, in a community that opened their arms to us and other youth groups throughout the summer. And we get a chance to share a few of those ministry opportunities that we had, some of those stories, some of those some of those relationships that are ingrained in our minds. And we want to thank you for that opportunity. And we want to thank you for this Sunday morning where we get to share a few of those stories with you this morning. So you are going to be blessed. You are going to be blessed by some of those stories. You're going to be blessed by hearing some of those words from our youth and our chaperones this morning. But this morning we are gathered here most importantly to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has challenged us to come here today to worship through song and through word and through testimony. So let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we give you thanks for your presence with us this morning. We give you thanks for your challenge to us, not just this day, but every day, to worship you, to celebrate who you are, and to celebrate what you do in our lives. You challenge us every single day to serve you, because every day is a mission for you to build up the kingdom. Father God, we just gather here this day as your body of believers here at First Baptist Church of Elon, an opportunity to celebrate who you are and what you're challenging our congregation to do. And Father, as we gather here today, we just give you thanks for your presence, for your Spirit residing with us, moving among the pews. And Father, we are challenged by your presence, knowing that we will not leave the same as we've gathered here this day. Father, we come to you in prayer this morning. And we lift this prayer up to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our song of praise, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. Lord, I bless you in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Sing that again.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross. The grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
You may be seated.
So for our mission trip report today, we are going to share a snapshot of everything that we experienced, a snapshot of the community, a snapshot of the other youth groups that we worked with, a snapshot of the Youth Works leaders that kind of guided the process when we were there for that week, a snapshot of the mission projects that we had the opportunity to work with, and just a snapshot of everything we got to experience. It would take hours upon hours to give you a detail by detail description, and I promised you we would try our best to get out in an hour, so we're going to try our best. But so each youth is going to have a part in this. They're going to have a multiple opportunity to share with you this morning. So we're going to start. Jacob's going to give you a little glimpse of what the city of Chattanooga meant to him. So Jacob, come on up.
Chattanooga was a really beautiful city, in my opinion. It felt a lot like home, and it felt a lot like here. And YouthWorks has been serving there for about 18 years. And like I said, it's a beautiful place, but like all places, it needed some work, especially in the urban center that has kind of been hit from the 50s when a lot of industrial bases pulled out and left a lot of jobs open. There's about 180,000 people there, and it was just a great city, and surrounded by mountains and a valley kind of area with a river running through it. There's a lot of beautiful scenery, a lot of good suburban places, very hilly. I didn't know that the bus was going to make it up some of those hills. It was a close call a few times.
Amen.
But Lord willing, we made it, and it was a good time.
So I'm going to be talking about our housing site. We were at Northside Community Baptist Church. There was roughly three stories. We weren't allowed on the third story, but on the first story is where we had our meals and we got to do the fellowship and our lessons with everyone. And on the second story, we had the girls slept in the gymnasium, and then the guys slept in the children's wing. There was bathrooms, but there was no showers, so we had to drive separately to the YMCA every day to shower and do that. So it was a really beautiful church. It was much bigger than this. It was a little older, but it was really beautiful, and I really enjoyed the church. It was a great experience.
we arrived, we had several people that were in charge of us all week, and I'm going to introduce you to our site director. This person was really in charge of making first contact with the church and heading up everything that we did all week. She had people that were assigned certain tasks, but she was in charge of overseeing everybody and stepping in and helping. Her name was Genesis Paola Riviera Casillas. So when she introduced herself, I'm like, wow, that's a really long name. She's Hispanic. She was born and raised in Puerto Rico with a Latino accent. She speaks Spanish and English, and occasionally she would be giving us one of our debriefing meetings, and she would all of a sudden break into Spanish, and we would all go, what? Slow down. She was just a bundle of energy. She loved science. She's attending the University of Central Florida in Orlando, Florida, where she's majoring in biomedical sciences, and her dream is to become a cardiovascular surgeon one day. She loves sleeping, which I don't think she got very much of the week we were there, at least. She loves Netflix, books, talking to strangers, and one of the things she told us is cakes and donuts make her happy, which makes me happy. She was probably one of the people responsible. We had three birthdays on the trip while we were there, mine included, and she made sure, even though we had a peanut allergy, that she went out and made a cake that was appropriate for everyone there. It was warm, and it was really, really great. But she was wonderful the whole week. She was in charge of all of us and really did a great job.
Also working with the YouthWorks site, and this is something that what we really enjoy about YouthWorks is they put a team together that works the entire summer. And so these college students dedicate their entire summer to be there, and they really engage with the community. And so the individual I want to introduce you to is Brianna Truelove, which is in the far top right corner. Brianna is from Tupelo, Mississippi, and she is a self-proclaimed sweet tea expert. She said, coming in, knowing that we were coming from North Carolina, bring me some sweet tea and I will tell you if it's made correctly or not. So we did. We brought her some sweet tea, and she said North Carolina knows how to make sweet tea. Brianna is from Tupelo, Mississippi. She goes to Mississippi State University. She is a double major in elementary education and religion. She hopes to become an elementary education teacher. She was the kids club coordinator, and Brianna was an introvert. Brianna was the one that would kind of stand off when there was a large group of people, something we recognized pretty quickly, but Brianna lit up when there were children around. Had an opportunity when we got there. There was a mass of teenagers coming in, and Brianna was the one handing out name tags to the youth as they were getting off the bus. And there was a family walking down the road as we got there. There were two young kids, and as soon as Brianna saw the kids, she ran over to them. It was like she was attracted to children. And that was her passion. She lit up around children. And this was something that our group saw and the other group saw, that she was passionate about children, and that is something she was gifted with. So it was a good opportunity to get to know Brianna. She went by Bree. That was her nickname. And Brianna was short. She was about the size of children. So she would run around, and she would be passionate about it. So it was a good opportunity to get to know her and her passion and working with elementary education. So I want to introduce you to Brianna. So, all right.
Our next YouthWorks person was Brittany. She's the one in the middle up there. She was the community service coordinator. She's from Washington State and studying to be an elementary school educator at Northeastern College in Iowa. She loves the outdoors, and the community members around Chattanooga love her. And she's basically the opposite of Brianna and definitely an extrovert.
Our last YouthWorks leader was named Precious. She's not up there. Her picture's not there. But she's from Queens, New York, and went to John Jay College for International Criminal Justice. She was in charge of club time and Bible study and devotions.
One of the groups we were there with was from Chicago. They were the largest group, and they had over 30 people. They were definitely like the life of the mission trip. They were very energetic. They were from Fair Oaks Presbyterian, and somebody from their church had a peanut allergy.
The next group we worked with was the opposite of the Chicago group. They were the smallest group. There were four of them from St. Paul's Lutheran in Pennsylvania. So Jim, Bree, Tanner, and Ariana worked with our group every day. Jim thankfully drove, so I got out of driving around, which was fantastic. Jim was my favorite person that week. He and Bree were two of their leaders. Bree from the St. Paul group, not the other Bree, had actually been a Youth Works leader last year there in Chattanooga. So she was very familiar with the area, and she switched out on several groups to be able to go visit her favorite areas from the times before. And they were seasoned Youth Works attendees. They had gone to Youth Works previous summer mission trips all over the country in previous years.
The last group that we worked with was Harvest United Methodist Church. They were about the size of our group, about the same amount of energy. Their leader was really cool. When we went to one of the hospitals, she served us ice cream like every day. So she was sweet. They put in their work and their time, and they were really cool.
One of the positive things about Youth Works is they, instead of our youth group working by itself, they really work on intermingling the youth groups. And so it wasn't just our youth work going to one mission site and another youth group going to another mission site. They divided our group up, so we got a chance to interwork with, as you can see, groups from all over the country. And so you work on building relationships not just in the community, but also with youth groups from around the country. So that was a benefit, an extra benefit of what Youth Works does. But one of the things that I really enjoy about Youth Works is it's not all about the missions work. Missions work is good, and the work you do in the community is needed. The relationships you build in the community, the work, the physical work that the youth place in the community for 4 days is very much needed. But there's also a relational aspect. There's an educational aspect, too. And this is something that Youth Works balances in their missions work. So this year's theme for Youth Works was called Storyline. And this is the devotion book that the youth received as they arrived on Sunday, as they got there. And this is something that each morning as the youth woke up and as they gathered before they went to their mission site, they spent 30 minutes in devotion time. Reading and preparing their hearts and minds for the work they did, and the Bible study stories that were chosen was to prepare them for what they were going to encounter into the community. And then as they bookmarked the weekend, they would go and do their missions work, and then they would come back. And in the evening time, after dinner and after a time of worship and evening cultural activity, they would come back and there would be a worship time and then a follow-up to that study that they worked on that morning. So some of the stories that they had a chance to look at was they looked at the story of the Samaritan woman that Jesus encountered at the well. They looked at the story of the prodigal son. They looked at the story of the boy with the fish and the bread and Jesus using what he simply had to feed the multitudes. They looked at the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Those are the four stories that we're focused on this summer in Storyline. And the intent of this year's devotion and Storyline was talking about how each of our stories, each of our faith stories, it never ends. It begins when we're brought into this world as God's creation, but it carries through not just when we breathe our last breath, but it's an eternal story. It's a story that never comes to an end, and how our past, what happens in our past, doesn't define who we are. What we have right now is not just what God provides us now, but what He provides for the future. And He used those stories to build on. And the simple things that God gives us right now, and what He can do with that, and how He can go beyond what we simply can see. The focus passage for the week was, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life." That's what's on the back of our shirts, what we're wearing today. That's what's on the front of your bulletin. That was our focus verse we came to. And the big word on that is pursue. God consistently pursues us. And that was what we focused on that week. That is what we consistently focus on, and that's what we're called to focus on, that God is pursuing us. God is pursuing us. And in that pursuit, He is challenging us. He's calling us. And that's what we learned that week. That's what we're learning every single day, and we're being reminded of. So just a few things to think about, and that's what we learned through Storyline that week in Chattanooga.
Our hymn of praise this morning is "Every Move I Make." Let's stand if you're able.
Be seated.
Y'all act like y'all sleep out
there. All right, Mission Team 1, come on up. Everybody.
All right. I'll start off by saying this mission trip for me was different from the ones that I have been on the previous, and I think anyone that's ever been on one of these trips, everyone is different. I'm used to being up on roofs and painting and getting all hot and sweaty, and for my group this time, this was not the case. For some of the folks on this stage, it really took us out of our comfort zone, and I think it was a good growth for them. I know that there were several occasions where I was not as comfortable, and I feel better. I feel like I've grown, and I could do it again, definitely. So let me tell you a little bit about the first place that we went. It was an Avondale Head Start program. We went there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in the mornings. And the Head Start program is a federal program for preschool children from 6 weeks to 4 years of age. The program is funded by the United States Department of Health and Human Services. The children that attend, they attend a variety of educational activities. They also get free medical, dental, and consume healthy meals and snacks. They get to have special educational privileges with people that are trained to work with Head Start. It really is a great program for folks that can't afford daycare, but they really need that extra help before they start school. So I'm going to let everybody kind of tell their own little story about how they interpreted it.
So for the first couple of days that we were there, we were helping them clean out this really big kind of storage warehouse where they had all kinds of stuff that they didn't need anymore or didn't work anymore, like toys and little kid furniture to play with, but also like chairs and tables and stuff, and it was really hard sometimes to try and fit it all into the dumpster because we couldn't fill it up past the top of it for like dumping reasons. So it was like a big puzzle trying to fit it all in there correctly, and some of us had to actually get up in there to try and fit it in there, and it was just a challenge, but it was also fun at the same time because we knew that we were really helping them out and that they expressed how much they appreciated it to us.
So our group got split off into two separate groups. There was a younger kids group that was down by the road, and there was the main building, which had all the older kids. I got lucky and ended up with some of the older kids. They were about 3 to 4 or so, and they were all very energetic and we're excited to have somebody new in the room, and I really connected with this one boy. His name was Amari. He was the only boy in that entire room every day of the week, and he had nobody to play with, and so I was the one that was able to give that to him, so just a really good experience there.
So while we were at the Head Start program, we also got to work with younger kids, and me and Olivia, we got to work with kids about, they're a little under 1 to 2, I believe, and we had about 7 kids that we got to play with, and they were just really energetic, and they enjoyed having new people there. We got to play inside with them, take them outside on a little playground. We helped them with lunch, and they were really just fun to work with.
In the afternoons, we did a couple of different things. The first couple of days we were there, we went to a place called Life Care Center of Hickson. And this is a life center, more like a nursing home residence. Let me tell you, when I get older, I would love to go here. It was beautiful. The people that were there were very caring. They made sure older folks had things to do, lots of social interaction. It was just a really, really neat place. It says here the Life Center had patients for adult daycare if they just needed a day to come and spend the day. But it was also a residence so that they could live there. But they were really great. I'm going to let them tell you some stories.
So the first day we got there, one of the things they do is they have an activity every afternoon, playing games or an art activity or whatever. So the first day we got there, we got introduced to David, not me, David, but another David, who was a retired Methodist minister. And this Methodist minister had the absolute perfect sense of humor for a retirement community. And I say that not jokingly. He had the worst jokes in the world, the worst. He was a character. And so we decided he played bingo with the community every Monday afternoon. And so he plays, since I had the name David, he decided I was going to be his replacement that day. And he said I had to do corny jokes like him. I don't have corny jokes like David. I have Dave. My name is David, but I don't have corny jokes like him. So I tried my best to play bingo with the community and tried my corny jokes, but they were not as good as his. So he overruled me and did his corny jokes, as I called the names. So we had our youth walked around as Vanna White, showing the cards, and they played bingo. But it was a wonderful opportunity to interact. They love bingo. They are very competitive at bingo. It was cutthroat bingo. It was, you play the right way. One of the community members there, she kept notes of who won and how they won and did they actually win or not. She had a running tally for the past 5 years of who had won and what day it was and how they had won, and what prize they chose when they won. So it was a very interesting opportunity. But that was Monday afternoon. That was one of the afternoon activities.
So the last day that we were there, I believe, they did a pool party outside, which is the first time they've done something like that. And all of the seniors got wheeled out there and got to dip their feet in the water, and they had a beach ball, and it was really cool. And we got to blow bubbles with them and had the little Freezy Pop things where you, like, get the thing out of the tube. You know what I'm talking about. And it was just a lot of fun seeing, like, the joy on their faces, which it was just really cool to see and be proud that you were a part of something that special.
On the first day that we were working there, we were playing bingo, and I got to help this one older lady. Her name was Blanche, and she was the gossiper of the group. Every time, there was this older man who would, like, forget that he had said something before, and she would whisper over to me, "If he says that one more time, I'm going to go over there." Every day that we were over there, she was a character, but I thought that that was pretty funny.
So they were in the bingo room having a blast, from what we understand. Catherine and Olivia were taken off to another section, and this was a little bit scary for me. These folks were in wheelchairs, and they weren't very responsive. They literally just sat there. A lot of these people didn't have family in the area, so they probably didn't get visitors very often. And I sit here thinking, oh my goodness, this must be such a lonely life for them. The lady brought us a balloon, and she blew it up, and I'm going, what would you like us to do with this balloon? She says, you're just going to kind of bat it back and forth between these five people sitting around this table. And I'm thinking to myself, really? There was one gentleman, and he must have been a sports person when he was younger. But when we first got there, he was just sitting there, lifeless. And we started batting the balloon around, and he got to the point where he was spiking that ball. You could tell he must have played baseball or something. But it was amazing how just a little bit of interaction with these folks, you got to see their personalities come back. And there was one lady to my left, and I don't remember her name, but she couldn't speak. She got taken away halfway through this. And when they brought her back, it was like she was a different person. She was starting to talk. She was smiling. And it's just amazing what just a little bit of time with a silly balloon did for the folks that were there that probably don't get visits, don't get to talk to people very much. It was just an amazing experience. Like I said, I'm used to being on top of a roof or painting, so this is not my comfort zone, but it really, really touched me, made me think about the older folks and how we definitely need to spend time with them. Makes me think about when I get old, I hope I have somebody to take care of me and play balloons with me. But it was just a really neat experience, something after doing this, I'm not afraid to do this anymore. So really neat experience.
Also at this, at the Hickson Center, there was this little ice cream area where the older people could come at any time during the day and they could come and get a cone of ice cream or a bowl of ice cream. And every day, like earlier Josh said, Jenny, one of our leaders in our group, she would scoop ice cream all day for these people. And at the end of the day, we would get a cone or a cup of ice cream. And it was really rewarding other than just the fact that we got to interact with people. So.
I'm looking at the pictures. Over on the far left corner, I believe that is a picture of the place that we visited, the Hickson. Like I said, it was very nice. If I were to have to go somewhere, definitely a really cool place. The next, thank you, John. Then you'll be with me, so. The next place that we went was very similar. Not to say that it wasn't as nice, but it was in proximity to their hospital. This was Siskin Hospital. It was more of a healing ministry that provided health care for retirement. It was also a rehabilitation center. So there were some people there that weren't necessarily there because of their age, but they had had a surgery or a fall and they were being rehabilitated. But there were clearly some there that probably wouldn't have left. They might have spent their last days there. But again, you run into those folks who didn't have a whole lot of family and friends to come visit. So our job was to play with them. So I'll let them tell you about that.
So this one lady, her name was Sue, she was obsessed with this one game. It's called Pop the Pig. You're supposed to play with 3 to 4 players, and you're supposed to read the numbers on the bottom of the tiny burgers and put them in the thing and pop the pig or whatever. And she decided that she was just going to play. She took all the burgers and was shoving them in the pig's mouth as fast as she could, and I was trying to press it as fast as I could, trying to pop the pig with her or whatever. So I just thought that just a fun experience.
For the 2 days that we were there on Wednesday and Thursday, we got to interact and play games with the residents there. We played bingo, we played dominoes, we played Pop the Pig, we played Connect Four. I got taught how to play dominoes the right way by the Queen of Dominoes, African-American woman by the name of Betty. Wilma. Wilma was the Queen of Dominoes, and she taught Sally and myself how to play dominoes the right way, because obviously we don't know how to play the right way. She did not like to lose. She liked to win. And when she lost, she was not too fond of losing. She was the queen of winning. But she also was the queen of bingo too. So she would make when we played bingo, we'd call out the names, and she would shout out or sing out quotations from her church days being gathered in church. She wasn't able to go to church anymore, so she would sing out praise songs or praise words like B7, you're going to heaven, or it didn't matter. That's the one that sticks in my head, but every time 7 came up, she said, whatever it was, you're going to heaven, and that was her joy she brought to the residents there when we were playing bingo. But it was a great opportunity. It was an opportunity to see people who just needed care and needed attention, and they really enjoyed. We enjoyed our opportunity there at Siskin. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our offertory hymn, Be Thou My Vision.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my God.
Let us pray. Father God, as we come to this time of the service where we return a portion of the gifts that you have blessed us with, we just ask that you take these offerings, offerings that we place in our plate, and also the offerings that we offer with ourselves to build your kingdom, Father, to build a kingdom not just within these walls, but across this world. Take these offerings, and we give them to you wholeheartedly. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
So this is probably one of the most important parts of our mission trip, I think. When we start on this mission planning stuff, it is always good to know that our church not only is supporting us, but is praying for us, praying for our success, praying for us to grow as a church. The folks that are up here are our prayer partners. And at the end of a day, you're going to hear some of these folks did get hot and sweaty and dirty, even mentally just being tired. But when you're about to go to bed and you have this prayer packet to open and you have scripture that somebody has picked for you to read and a nice note, words of encouragement, sometimes, not this year because of the peanut allergy, you'd have some goodies. We got all our goodies at the end, but, you know, a piece of chocolate or something nice. But it was really great to have your support and your prayers because that got us through our week. So if you were a prayer partner, will you stand and let us recognize you and thank you? We can't do this without you guys, so thank you so much.
All right. Good morning. So this was team two. We were the Rail Masters. Being in Chattanooga, everything we did was centered around the railroad, our theme was. So we were the Rail Masters. And we worked in three sites, which the guys are going to tell you about. Day one, we worked in Avondale Kids Club. Day two, we worked in a conservancy, a land conservancy, along with the kids club. And then days three and four, we worked in a land conservancy as well as at Hickson, where the first group worked. So we'll let them tell you about what we did.
The first 2 days, we were at Avondale's Kids Club. They were like from four to like preteens, so they were like wild. We started off every day with like a song and a Bible story where Jacob played baby Jesus. There were three stations for everybody. It was like arts and craft, reading, and games, and obviously every kid wanted to go to the games. So it was just fun, good experience. The kids got to have fun, and yeah.
And Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings, we went to the conservancy, and we worked very hard. We were clearing off certain areas with like trash and kudzu vines, and pulling kudzu vines is not fun. I'm gonna go ahead and say that. It's like you pull a vine and all these little bugs just fly everywhere. They particularly like to make a home in my hair, which I wasn't a fan of that. But we also we were clearing off a trail because they're making a long trail that goes across the whole mountain. And we also cleared off an area that they're going to use for a picnic that Friday. And also, there's a lot of interesting history about this mountain. There was a train that crashed on the mountain a long time ago. I can't quite remember the year, but it was carrying molten glass, and the glass went everywhere after the wreck, and it made these shiny little black rocks that almost look like glass themselves, but it's kind of reminiscent of obsidian. And those rocks did look very nice. And on top of that, there was also a lot of old glass bottles from, I think, maybe Civil War time up until like the 50s. I kept quite a few. There was like a milk bottle, medicine bottle, various jars and lids and whatnot. It was very cool. Patrick and Tristan both got poison ivy, but I didn't. And some people did get stung by bees too, but that wasn't me either. I got lucky.
On Wednesday and Thursday, we went to Hickson, and on the first day, we only like set up bingo and talked to them because they had a meeting, so they couldn't play bingo. But the next day, we did get to play bingo and eat ice cream, and some of us had to paint their nails. But
Tristan said that he didn't paint anybody's nails, but there was a guy that was roped into painting nails, so yes. These three worked extremely hard all week long. They did have a very sweaty job where, I didn't know this, but kudzu is in the Land Conservancy. Kudzu is an invasive species, and it grows 6 inches a week. And so they were pulling all of this kudzu that was taking over this area. They were planting gardens, butterfly gardens, and they were working on clearing this trail. Our big job was to prepare for the largest fundraiser that they were going to have of the year, which was going to be that week. So they were inviting all of their big investors to this area of land that we had cleared off to hope gather more funds to continue with these efforts. So we were helping towards that. This conservancy works with one of the local high schools to bring in high school students as interns to give them skills so that they can work. They know how to work with the land there, get them interested in landscaping. So we worked with a lot of these high school students, talked with them a lot, and tried to bring a little bit of light into their lives. They were maybe didn't always come from the best homes or the best circumstances, but they were. This conservancy was hoping to give them a path forward. We also worked with some from college students that were interning with the conservancy over the summer who were interested in land management and what the conservancy was doing. But it was hot, tiring, buggy, planty, icky work. Some of the pictures you can see, they're working on a side of a hill where we had to be very careful not to go tumbling down. But they, both in the conservancy, at the Hickson Center, and at the Avondale Kids Club, these guys worked really hard, poured their hearts into the week, and I think made a difference. So thank you all for the opportunity that you gave us to serve in Chattanooga.
One of the things the Youth Works does is not just the work, but they also want the youth that come to get a chance to invest in the community and see the culture of the community, so they understand not just the work that needs to be done, but also to see what the community is about. And so each night you get a chance to venture out into the community. So each night we got a chance to go through Chattanooga and go to different places, tourist attractions, or just to walk around some of the downtown area. And so our youth are going to come share some of the evening activities we did. They're also going to share on Friday as we came home one of the activities we decided to do as a group before we left Chattanooga, before we traveled home. So Patrick's going to come and share about our first activity we did on Monday night.
Our first activity was at Rock City. It was on Lookout Mountain. It's like right in the corner. I don't even know how to explain it. It's like right at the top of the mountain. There's like cave system and bridges and like rock trails. And even at like one of the lookout points,
you can see like seven states. It's like Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama. And it was just a cool opportunity. Yeah.
So the next two nights, it was Tuesday and Wednesday, I think, and we were at Coolidge Park for the majority of it. And Coolidge Park was basically kind of just like this big area. There were shops, there were little ice cream stands. There's actually a fountain area, and we had one of our youth members jump through said fountain area. Needless to say, didn't end well, but that's okay. But we got to go around to shops. We went to like a vintage clothing shop, I think, one night. And then the next night, we went to the same place again. We went in a few shops, and then we got to go on the bridge, actually. I think it's right there, the picture of us on that big bridge, and we got to walk across that. And it really was just a fun experience to explore the town and just get to know the area.
On Thursday, we had a cookout with all the youth groups, and we had pizza and hamburgers, and you could either play volleyball, frisbee, or football, or you could just hang out.
The last activity we did Friday morning was we went to Ruby Falls, which is towards Lookout Mountain, and it was a very cool experience. Personally, I struggled a little bit because caves are not meant for tall people. I only hit my head once, and that's what we would call a self-correcting problem. And aside from that, there were a lot of really cool rock formations within the caves. Some things were shaped like various animals, like turtles, and you had huge stalagmites and stalactites. And when you finally made it through the caves, you come into this big natural room with a 145-foot waterfall, Ruby Falls. And when they turned all the lights off, it was pitch black. You could not see anything, no light whatsoever. And then they turn the lights on, and there's the dramatic music, and there's a huge waterfall. And it's an amazing spectacle. It's very cold down there, too. But it was amazing to be reminded of God's creation towards the end and as we were about to head home.
So as I said, just an opportunity to get a glimpse of the opportunity that our youth had a couple months ago as we traveled to Chattanooga, Tennessee. I hope you got a chance to see and hear just some of the brief stories. The stories are so many more beyond what you heard this morning. So many relationships, so many just little memories that still stick in our minds. And as we close this morning, just a reflection on the week that I had a chance to experience in Chattanooga. Sally said it earlier in the worship service, every mission trip is different. And it's very hard as you go on mission trips not to compare them to past mission trips. It's very hard not to compare them to the groups you take to past locations. And that is something through the years that I've tried not to do. And so going to Chattanooga, Tennessee, it's a city that I've been to before, not on a mission trip, but it's a city I've been to before. So I had a history there. I've had an experience there before. And so going to Chattanooga, it was trying to check everything at the door. And so I decided for this mission trip, I was going to say, all right, I'm going to look at this trip through the eyes of the different individuals that I got a chance to experience. And so in closing today, I want to share this perspective on this mission trip through the eyes of three individuals. The first is the eyes of an individual through a three-year-old. There's a little girl by the name of Jai Oprah, J-A-I apostrophe O-P-R-A-H. Jai Oprah is a three-year-old little girl that went to Avondale Head Start. Jai Oprah is a three-year-old little girl that I got to play kitchen with for 2 days at Avondale Head Start on Tuesday and Wednesday mornings in Chattanooga. Jai Oprah is a little girl who loves attention. Jai Oprah is a little girl who doesn't get much attention at home. Jai Oprah is a little girl who knows what it means to take care of a home. Jai Oprah is a little girl who has to take care of her own home because she has a mother who's not at home. Jai Oprah is a little girl who loves attention, who wanted to prepare a meal for me in the kitchen of Avondale Head Start because she knew what it meant to take care of a home. Jai Oprah is a little girl who Avondale Head Start is providing a place for her to come and be taken care of because that's what she needs. The eyes of a three-year-old little girl by the name of Jai Oprah. Through the eyes of a 70-year-old by the name of Betty. Betty is a 70-year-old woman who is at Siskin Hospital in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Betty is a 70-year-old woman who had a stroke, who cannot speak, whose mobility is very limited at all. Betty is a woman who understands what's going on because you can tell it in her eyes. You can look at her in her eyes, and she knows what's going on, and you can tell that she wants to speak, but she can't get her words to come out. Betty has very, very limited mobility with her hands, but Betty wants to communicate. She wants to move. And one thing Betty loves to do is play Connect Four. Not play Connect Four like you and I play Connect Four. Betty wants to play Connect Four by filling up the board with every little tile because that is something Betty can do, and Betty understands it. This is something that I didn't understand about Betty when I first met her. Because when I thought playing Connect Four with Betty, I thought you played Connect Four with Betty the way we play Connect Four. But quickly I realized that that's not what Betty wanted. Because after Betty won Connect Four, I was about to clear the board and she grabbed my hand. And she didn't want me to clear the board. She wanted me to keep going. And so as I fed the little tiles to Betty and she filled the board. And when she got it all filled, she smiled. And then we cleared the board and we filled it again. That's through the eyes of a 70-year-old woman by the name of Betty. And now through the eyes of a 41-year-old by the name of David. See, it's the little things. Sometimes we want to see the big things. We want to see the house being painted. We want to see the trails being cleared. We want to see the ramps being built. We want to see the significant work being done when we go on mission trips. But we fail to realize there's three-year-old little girls by the name of Jai Oprah who need a meal to be prepared. Or there's a 70-year-old woman by the name of Betty who needs a Connect Four board to be filled. So my challenge to you is this. What can we do? What can you do to provide that attention this day, every single day? It doesn't require to go 5 or 6 hours away to Chattanooga. Because guess what? Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And God is pursuing us this day in some unexpected way. Just like the little boy who brought a basket of fish and bread to listen to Jesus and teach that day. And he turned that fish and bread into a miracle that fed the 5,000. What is he providing for you this day? Maybe it's a little tile for the Connect Four board. Maybe it's a few minutes to sit beside a three-year-old little girl. Maybe it's a pair of gloves to help your neighbor clear out some vines. Or to spread some mulch. Or maybe it's just a little bit of time to sit beside a student who needs a little extra attention. I don't know. Maybe we need to start looking through the eyes of someone else and not necessarily our own. That's my challenge for you today. Let's pray. Father God, may we stop looking through our own eyes and start seeing through your eyes what you're challenging us to do. Thank you for allowing our youth to see things through, hopefully, through your eyes 2 months ago in Chattanooga, and I hope they haven't stopped seeing it through the eyes of others. And Father, that's challenged me. I hope that's challenged each one of us today as we've heard these stories, these little stories, these simple stories. And Father, there's opportunities that lie right in front of us today, this afternoon as we leave this place. Maybe we can see it. Maybe you're opening the door. Maybe you're providing that opportunity. And that's our challenge. Father, we know you're pursuing us. And we know you're challenging us. May we accept that challenge. We lift this prayer to you this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, if you would stand and join us singing our closing song. It's not the song that's printed in your hymn book. I mean, in your bulletin to this day. Dave, if you'll pull the last song up. We're singing Shine, Jesus, Shine. The words will be printed on the screen behind you. You also turn in your hymnal if you would like to. Shine, Jesus, Shine. Please stand and sing.
Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine.